It's not easy for me. LifeSpring Family Audio Bible, episode number 260. This is the daily podcast where we're reading through the entire Bible in a year. My name is Steve Webb, and I'm your host. How are you today? Our reading is Proverbs 25. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you so very much for who you are. We thank you, Lord, for your word, and we thank you, God, that you chose this way to show us who you are and to give us instruction on how we should live. I pray again that as we read today, Lord, you would touch our hearts and help us to understand what it is you'd have us to learn today. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, let's begin. Proverbs chapter 25. These are more Proverbs of Solomon, compiled by the men of Hezekiah, king of Judah. It is the glory of God to conceal a matter. To search out a matter is the glory of kings. As the heavens are high and the earth is deep, so the hearts of kings are unsearchable. Remove the dross from the silver, and a silversmith can produce a vessel. Remove wicked officials from the king's presence, and his throne will be established through righteousness. Do not exalt yourself in the king's presence, and do not claim a place among his great men. It is better for him to say to you, "Come up here," than for him to humiliate you before his nobles. What you have seen with your eyes, do not bring hastily to court, for what will you do in the end if your neighbor puts you to shame? If you take your neighbor to court, do not betray another's confidence, or the one who hears it may shame you, and the charge against you will stand. Like apples of gold in settings of silver is a ruling rightly given. Like an earring of gold, or an ornament of fine gold, is the rebuke of a wise judge to a listening ear. Like a snow-cooled drink at harvest time is a trustworthy messenger to the one who sends him. He refreshes the spirit of his master. Like clouds and wind without rain is one who boasts of gifts never given. Through patience a ruler can be persuaded, and a gentle tongue can break a bone. If you find honey, eat just enough. Too much of it, and you will vomit. Seldom set foot in your neighbor's house. Too much of you, and they will hate you. Like a club or a sword or a sharp arrow is one who gives false testimony against a neighbor. Like a broken tooth or a lame foot is reliance on the unfaithful in a time of trouble. Like one who takes away a garment on a cold day, or like vinegar poured on a wound, is one who sings songs to a heavy heart. If your enemy is hungry, give him food to eat. If he is thirsty, give him water to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head, and the Lord will reward you. Like a north wind that brings unexpected rain is a sly tongue, which provokes a horrified look. Better to live on a corner of a roof than share a house with a quarrelsome wife. Like cold water to a weary soul is good news from a distant land. Like a muddied spring or a polluted well are the righteous who give way to the wicked. It is not good to eat too much honey, nor is it honorable to search out matters that are too deep. Like a city whose walls are broken through is a person who lacks self-control. Proverbs chapters 25 through 29 were Proverbs of Solomon that were collected under the supervision of King Hezekiah of Judah, about 270 years after Solomon died. 1 Kings chapter 4 verse 32 tells us that Solomon spoke about 3,000 proverbs, and even with these proverbs contained in chapters 25 through 29, we still don't have all of Solomon's proverbs. In this chapter, I'd like to talk about verses 21 and 22. Those verses say, in verse 21, if your enemy is hungry, give him food to eat. If he's thirsty, give him water to drink. And then verse 22 says, in doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head, and the Lord will reward you. Well, verse 21 is pretty self-explanatory, but what does verse 22 mean? Well, commentators over the years do not agree whether heaping coals on the head is a good thing or a bad thing from the viewpoint of the enemy. It could be referring to a burning conviction that happens when we do something good for the enemy. Or perhaps the thought is of lending a burning coal to him to help light a fire for himself. Either way, the motivation is that we make a friend of an enemy, and we'll receive a reward from the Lord. Adam Clark, who I mentioned a couple of days ago, wrote in one of his commentaries about this heaping burning coals on the enemy's head was, quote, "not to consume, but to melt him into kindness," unquote. And then there's a respected Old Testament scholar still living today by the name of Bruce Waltke, and he's written an excellent 2-volume set of commentaries on the book of Proverbs. And he said, most commentators agree with Augustine and Jerome that the coals of fire refers to, quote, "burning pangs of shame," unquote, which a man will feel when good is returned for evil, his shame producing remorse and contrition. So there's that. Whether the coals on his head is positive or negative from the point of view of your enemy is really not the point. His attitude is not your concern because it doesn't change your responsibility. In this proverb, God is telling us that we should be kind to our enemy. And isn't that what Jesus said in Matthew 5:43-47, in what is known as the Beatitudes? Here it is again, Jesus talking. "You have heard the law that says, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say, love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you. In that way, you will be acting as true children of your Father in heaven. For he gives his sunlight to both the evil and the good, and he sends rain on the just and the unjust alike. If you love only those who love you, what reward is there for that? Even corrupt tax collectors do that much. If you are kind only to your friends, how are you different from anyone else? Even pagans do that." Well, beloved, this, of course, is not an easy thing to do. Well, maybe it is for you, but it's not easy for me. But it is what we are called to do, and that's why we have the Holy Spirit. Through Him, we have the ability to do it. The question is, will we? What are your thoughts? I invite your comments. Write to me at steve@lifespringmedia.com. Tomorrow, we'll finish up the book of Amos with a reading of chapters 5 through 9. And until then, may God bless you richly. I'm Steve Webb. Be kind. Bye.